How many of you say, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, use me. Hallelujah. He'll supply all of your need. Trust Him. Step out for Him and He'll meet you in that place of obedience. He's going to meet you in the place where He told you to be. Amen. When you step out to do what He calls you to do, He'll meet you in that place. Hallelujah. Amen. If Jesus says it's time to get out of the boat, get out of the boat. Amen. If Jesus is in the boat, hang out with Jesus in the boat. Amen. But when Jesus gets out on the water, it's time to step out of the boat. Amen. Because the best place to be is wherever He is. Jesus said, wherever I am, there my servant will be also. Amen. So thank you for coming today. Dave and his family, and see you guys yesterday. Met him at the Glory Barn, and we had a great time yesterday. Really a fellowship of sharing, you know, together and just praise and worship. And you know what? I've discovered something actually quite a while ago, but God's not confined to four walls. We are the temple of God. We are the people of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we carry His glory. His presence goes with us. Amen. So, yes, out of our heart, God wants to release His presence. Amen. And touch others around us. And we get to do this. You know, when you're in love with somebody, you're not ashamed of that person. You want to tell others about that person because you're in love with them. Amen, somebody? Amen. Father's Day today, huh? Well, how many know every day is Father's Day? Our Father in heaven, amen? The fatherhood of God, hallelujah. And the perfect Father, of course, is our Heavenly Father. So if you want to be a good dad, a good father, amen, look to your Heavenly Father. Learn of Him. Become like Him. You see, the Lord is into transformation, isn't He? He's not into patching up the old thing. He wants to renew. He wants to redeem. He wants to set us free from ourselves so that we can live for Him. How many know you can't be full of yourself and full of Jesus at the same time? Amen? Because one's going to win out the other. Amen? And so we want to give God permission to rule. Amen? To be in charge, hallelujah, of the house. And you and I are that house. So that He'll work in and through us. Father, I just thank You again for everyone that's come today. And I pray You'd bless us and refresh us and encourage us and strengthen us and build us and equip us and use us and send us. That Your name would be glorified in the earth, Lord God. Through every one of us, Lord, thank You for allowing us to serve You and to be a part of what You're doing, Lord God. Yes, Father, we do realize that it's not of us, but it's of You. It's not by power or might, but by Your Spirit. Amen. So let it be unto us according to Your word today, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just open to You, ask You to do the teaching through me today, Lord. And help me, Lord, just to relax in Your presence today. Because, Lord, I always do better when I do that. So help me in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of the message today is The Perfect Father. And of course, that would be God, wouldn't it? The Perfect Father. I'm grateful to have had a good dad, really. Not a perfect dad, but a good dad. You know, he did his best to provide for us when we were growing up. He was there for me when I needed him. And he also did his best to teach us valuable life lessons, you know, to instill principles in Bruce and I, and we have a sister, Bonnie, while we were growing up. My dad would teach us principles. And not just talk to us, but he would demonstrate that to us. My dad taught us the value of hard work, you know. And how many know that God is into hard work, all right? And not grievous work, but work that's enjoyable. Because we were actually designed for work. Did you know that? How many know it's not healthy to sit around all day and do nothing? Amen. Your body needs to work. Come on, it needs to be moving and doing, right? But work can be an enjoyable thing. As a matter of fact, how many know that Adam and Eve had work to do, right? God gave them responsibility to take care of the garden, right? To till it, to keep it. And so that's what they did. And so work is supposed to be something that is good and something that is enjoyable. And a lot of it is our attitude, you know, towards work. And unfortunately today, too many are getting the wrong message that somehow work is a bad thing. And you can just sit around at home and collect. Well, how many know that laziness leads to slavery? Somebody say laziness leads to slavery. Amen. God wants us to be free, and God wants us to be independent, but under His authority. Amen. God designed us so that we would have a free will to choose. Love is a relationship, so love is a choice. We choose to serve. We choose to love the Lord. We choose to obey Him. Unfortunately, a lot of people, and no fault of their own, because we didn't choose who our fathers would be. How many know that's true? You happen to be born in certain situations. Maybe the father was abusive. He was tyrannical. Or he was absent or indifferent. Or possibly a drunk. Whatever it might have been. You know, sometimes we form our opinion of authority based upon the authorities in our lives and the authorities that we've known. And sometimes it's hard for us to trust any authority if we've been abused by authority. And how many know that there is good authority? Not all authority is bad. But sometimes we get to a place in life where we don't trust any authority because we've been abused by authority. And how many know that someone who's under God's authority is a good authority, is a trustworthy authority, someone who has placed themselves under God's leadership, under His headship, amen, is a good authority and someone that can be trusted. A man of God, a woman of God who's under the authority of the Father, amen, is a good authority because they have the fear of the Lord, because they know that they are responsible before the Lord, because they take God seriously. And we all understand, don't we, that we're going to give an account someday. Amen. So we want to be good stewards over God's investment in us as His people. God has given all of us in Christ certain giftings and abilities that we may glorify our Father in heaven. And Jesus said, "By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit." So if you want to know what a good father looks like, we got to go beyond man. Amen. And earthly fathers who many of them, even though they may not have been good fathers, they tried to be, but maybe they just didn't know how to be because sometimes it's generational. It's just learned behaviors. You know, you grow up in a certain context, a certain household, a certain situation, and you learn certain behaviors. And to you, that is a normal behavior. To others, it may be abnormal. But if that's all you've ever known, I think about the oppressive regime in North Korea and how those people have been born and raised and grown up. And some of them live their entire life in slavery under this cruel dictatorship. Amen. But that's the only normal that they know. That's the only standard that they live by. And they have not heard the truth about Jesus. Amen. So to them, that is just a normal way of living. But God is the perfect Father, and God wants us to know His heart. God wants us to know who He really is, not who we think He is based upon our own personal experiences in life with authorities, but who He really is. And there's healing. Even though we may have grown up in a dysfunctional situation, God is a perfect Father. Amen. And we can learn how to become more like our Father. Like father, like son. I want to be like my dad when I grow up. Amen? I want to be like my heavenly Father. And so Psalms 145 verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious." This is who He is. "And full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy." So God is always faithful. God is always true. Earthly fathers will fail us at times, but God always remains the same. He doesn't change. That's why we can trust Him. If God says something, He means it. Amen. Everything God says is something He has thought and everything that He will confirm. So if God thinks something, He'll speak it. Amen. It's always in agreement. What He thinks, what He speaks, and what He does always agree. That's why we can trust Him. We can't trust everybody in the world. Amen. We've learned that quite quickly in life, haven't we? When you're a child, you're often very naive and believing, and everybody must be okay to trust, and whatever they tell me must be truthful. And after a little while, you realize that people are lying to me. I'm being duped here. And so what we need to do is we need to shift our focus away from man to the Lord, amen, who is the perfect one, the perfect Father, and learn of Him. Find out what God is really like so you can trust him. When Moses was alone, he was called to Mount Sinai with the two tablets of stone, which he himself had prepared. And the Lord revealed his nature to him at that time. In Exodus 34:5, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Moses was privileged to be able to receive this revelation because people are unable to know God truly except that God would reveal himself to them. Amen. Today, we cannot truly know the heart or the nature of God except that God be revealed to us by who? His Holy Spirit. Amen. So Moses received a revelation from the Lord on Sinai as to who he really is. That he is what? Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. That's the God that we serve. Hallelujah. That's our Father, our Heavenly Father, the perfect Father, the Father of our spirits, the lover of our souls. He is always faithful and he's committed to us to the end. He is by very nature a father. So God becomes our father in the new covenant and with the new birth, right? When we receive Christ, John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All of us have been born naturally, obviously, right? But that's why Jesus said you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. And so not everyone is a child of God. I know you hear that in the world. Well, we're all children of God. Actually, we're children of the devil naturally. And I know that makes some people angry to hear that. But Jesus said that. Jesus declared that. And we know that because of sin. Sin makes someone an enemy of God. And so when Adam and Eve had sinned, they became enemies in the sense God still loved them. God still had a plan to redeem them. And it was the Lord himself that came looking for them. Amen. Because he wanted to redeem them back. But because of the sin, they had lost that fellowship and they had lost that covering that they once had. They literally were covered in the glory of God. They wore God as clothing. That's why when they sinned, they knew that they were naked. And so right away, man began to try to look for ways to cover his own sin. And so they put together fig leaves, right? Which were insufficient covering. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And so God had clothed them with animal hides. But the Lord came because he loved us. Even when we were still in our sin, while we were separated, while we're enemies in our mind to God, Christ came, died on the cross in our place to redeem us back to him, to restore us to fellowship with him. So once again, we can come with confidence into our Father's house. Amen. How many remember when you were a teenager and you had a big appetite? How many here are still suffering from the consequences of hungry teenagers? Amen. But when you came into the house, amen, you just went right. Usually the first thing I went for was a refrigerator, you know, because I'm under my Father's roof. I'm in my Father's house here. Amen. And I know that it's okay. God, you know, he has given me access to the refrigerator. All right. Because I'm an heir. I'm a son. Amen. And this is my house, too, because I belong to my Father. Amen. And my Father has provided this for me. How many know your Father will take care of your needs? Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. And he wants to be your provider. He doesn't want you to trust in anything else. He doesn't want you to trust in the bank. He doesn't want you to trust in your employer. He doesn't want you to trust in politicians. He wants you to trust in him. Amen. To be your provider. Because he said, don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat, didn't he? He knows how to take care of his own possession. But God wants us to trust his heart. And God wants us to trust what he has promised. He makes a promise, he keeps it. So in Colossians 1:21, it says, "You who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." This is pretty awesome. You and I, unworthy of him, and yet God in mercy came, gave himself on our behalf, became our substitute, died, amen, and the Father laid upon him the iniquity of us all so that we could be free from the penalty, from the consequences, from the curse of sin and become sons and daughters of the Most High God, amen, to be a joint heir in the household of God, amen, so that now we can with confidence come into our Father's house, come on, and if you're hungry, come and eat, amen. If you're thirsty, come and drink. Come into your Father's house with confident assurance because you know who you are in your new identity as a son, as a daughter of the Most High God. I don't have to beg at the door. I can come with confidence. Oh, not in my own goodness, but in my Father's goodness. Again, natural man apart from Christ is an enemy of God. Now, Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 8:42, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." In verse 44, he said, "You are of your father, the devil." So much for the universal, all right? Everybody is a child of God. No, we must be born again to become a child of God, all right? And to be restored to fellowship with God. "And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it." Do we not see the evidence of the devil everywhere today? Oh, my word. Lie, 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 lie. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Because naturally, we are disqualified from being in heaven. We cannot be in God's presence as long as we are sinful. You see, what God does is he doesn't come just to improve our lives. Religion teaches you to do all these things to earn credit, and hopefully God will accept you because you've done enough good things. And so you become the source of your own salvation. And Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you will find it. If you surrender your life to him, you'll find your life in him. Hallelujah. He will become your life. You will become a new creation. He will put the spirit of his son into your heart, crying out, "Abba, Father." Amen. Hallelujah. So we have a relationship now through Jesus Christ. Amen. To the Father. Hallelujah. We can now call him Father. We can call him Abba. Earthly fathers are important because earthly fathers are supposed to be patterning their behavior according to God. Amen. So we're supposed to, as especially of men of God, as children of God, to model our behavior according to our Father. So God thought it was important for Jesus to have an earthly father. Think about it. I know there's some people say, we'll just go in, we'll mix a few things together in a test tube and voila, we'll have a child. Don't need a father anymore. We'll just do it artificially. But there's more to it than just having a baby. Amen. How many know that babies need fathers and babies need mothers? That's God's order. He designed things that way. And unfortunately, the devil is still telling his lies. And many people are believing it that somehow you don't need a father. Or you don't need a mother. Consider the birth of Jesus, right? God wanted Mary to have a husband. He wanted Jesus to have an earthly father. Joseph played a vital role, didn't he? He had to protect and he had to provide for Mary and Jesus. And God instructed him to flee from Herod to Egypt. And he was later instructed to return to Nazareth with his family. So likewise, God, our Father, protects and provides for us, his children, those who have been born of the Spirit. Galatians 3:26 says this, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Again, in John 1:13, all who were what? Born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We must be born of God. You see, there are people who think that they're going to heaven because they're good people. But if you're not born again, you're still in Adam, and all in Adam will die. Why? Because we're already dead in trespasses and sins through inherited sin. This curse of sin has been passed down generationally, amen, from the first forefathers, right? So God says you must be redeemed. You must be born again. God doesn't accept the flesh. He doesn't accept the Adamic nature. The Adamic nature, the old nature, has to be put to death in order for us to live out the life, the new life in Christ. That means that you have to be deliberate to deny that part of you that would rebel against the Spirit of the Lord in the Word. How many know that's true? How many know that we're responsible over ourselves? God gives us charge of ourselves, charge of our bodies. Amen. Our bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we are to keep our bodies pure. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because God's Spirit dwells within us. Hallelujah. If you're a child of God, it means that you have surrendered your life to God and Christ is in you. So what happens when we are born again? It says God sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, doesn't He? Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has set forth what? The Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, this is a language of children in the household. It's a respectful term of affection. So a slave could not address the father, amen, in such a way. It was an intimate term, as a son would speak towards his father. Amen. Abba, Abba, as I am yours and you are mine, we are part of each other. Amen. A slave could not address the master of the household in such a way. But you and I are no longer slaves to sin or to Satan. But in the new covenant, in the new birth, we are now sons and daughters of God. Amen. To where we can now come and address our Father in heaven as Abba. Dear Father. And He's a perfect Father. He's a good Father. He's a loving Father. He's a compassionate Father. He's a strict Father at times. Come on. Amen. And He will discipline us if He needs to, but it's because He loves us that He disciplines His children. And He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die a horrible death. And the Lord, in agreement with the Father, said, I will come and I will become that sacrifice. The Word of God became the Son of God. And became the Lamb of God, sacrifice for the sins of the world. The Father and the Son had come into agreement. The only way to redeem us was that a substitute would be prepared. And so the Lord took upon Himself a body in the likeness of Adam, yet without sin. And He went to that cross, amen, and God put the sins of the world upon our Lord. He paid the price that we deserve to pay. That's how much God loves you. He demonstrated it for us at the cross. So we're no longer slaves to sin in Christ. And we need to understand who we are in this new creation. The devil wants to lie to you and keep you in bondage to sin. He wants to somehow magnify sin to make it appear bigger than it is. How many know if Christ has overcome the world, amen, He's overcome on our behalf. And if Christ is in us, that makes us more than a conqueror. That means that we are also overcomers, amen. And we can overcome the world by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Because we're not putting our trust in us, but in Him. Amen. And the power is of Him. The deliverance is from Him. And we believe. And therefore we receive. It's important as earthly fathers, that we pattern our lives again according to our Heavenly Father. That way our children are able to see a pattern of the Heavenly Father by an example of their earthly father. Not true? How many of you can agree that there's some things that have happened to you along the way with authorities in your life that were not good? Every one of us, right? Somewhere, somehow, whether it was a teacher or some authority figure. And sometimes that shapes our view of God. So we need to God to come and learn and find out who God really is, not what we think he is. You can ask a room full of people, who is God? And some people will say there is no God. And some people say, well, God is like this to me and God is like that to me. Amen. But how many know that God is who he is? He doesn't change. He's always good. Amen. And so it doesn't matter. You can all have an opinion about God, but opinions are just opinions and they're not necessarily based upon fact. I know sometimes people think if I had an opinion, it's got to be a fact because it's my opinion. That's why it's sometimes good to say, you know, this is just my opinion. Instead of declaring as if it's a fact. Anyways, our children, you know, they need to see a pattern of God in their earthly fathers. So we behave ourselves. All right? We discipline ourselves and we discipline our children because our children need that. I know the world says, oh, just let them raise themselves. Well, we're seeing the fruit of that today. You know, if we look below the surface of much of the man-hating rhetoric today, I think we'll find these attitudes are often a wrong reflection or reaction to the failures of men. Women hate men because men have abused them, whether it was a father figure or boyfriends or husbands. And sometimes we can think that all men are bad, and the same thing happens to men. Men may have a bad experience with a mother or a girlfriend or a wife. And after a while, you know, of being abused by the opposite sex, people can come to a place where they start to believe that everyone who is a man is like that. Or every woman is like that. And so just like some women hate men, some men actually hate women too. And that really opens the door for the devil to come in and to cause all kinds of confusion, if you know what I'm talking about. And to where men are going after men and women are going after women, and they're because they're confused. And because men have been abusive, therefore I'm going to turn away from men, I'm going to turn to women. Or vice versa. We've got to look and understand that sometimes people are hurt, they're wounded, they're carrying an offense. And they haven't dealt with it. And because of that, it festers. It grows up. It begins to poison them. It begins to blind them after a while. So they can't even think clearly or see clearly anymore. And they're looking through a lens of offense. And so then they begin to carry an expectation that everybody else is going to be just like that. People get offended in church. They have a bad experience in the church. And so they go and they carry that offense somewhere else. Amen. And when they go in, they're looking through that offense. They're looking through the lens of that offense. And so they have an expectation. There's going to be more of the same when I get into the next place. And isn't it interesting that if you believe something long enough, you'll actually receive that. In other words, you're sowing in the spirit realm what you're thinking. That's why we have to guard our thinking. Guard our thought life. Take captive every thought. Amen. People are people. People are going to make mistakes. People are going to hurt you. People are going to wound you. Amen. But that's where forgiveness comes in. That's where the mercy of God comes in. That's where Jesus stepped in. Amen. Because we couldn't save ourselves. And he paid the price. Even those who crucified him, he died for them too. And when he hung on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's vitally important that we learn to walk in forgiveness towards one another, that we don't allow these things to be harboring in our hearts. Amen. Because unforgiveness is like a cancer to your soul. It will eat you up. And we need to understand that people are faulty. People will make mistakes. People will let you down. Even people that you trust will let you down sometimes. You've let people down also. So we need to love. We need to forgive. And we need to give grace, just like the Father has been gracious to us. Because the Lord wants to heal. But you cannot receive your healing until you first repent of your attitude. And you come to a place where I'm going to forgive. Not because I even feel like it, but because I know I must. And the Lord, I'm going to rely upon Him to give me the grace to truly forgive those people who have hurt me, who have wounded me. I'm not going to hold on to that offense anymore because I want to be a free man. Amen. I don't want to walk around wounded and broken. God wants to heal and He wants to restore you. But you've got to come to the place where you take responsibility for your own attitudes. And understand that God didn't deserve what happened to Him at the cross. Amen. Jesus didn't deserve that. But He loved you. And He did it because He loved you. We suffer sometimes by the things that our children do. We're disappointed in our children sometimes. It doesn't mean that you hate them because they made a mistake. It's you're just disappointed because they didn't believe you. They didn't receive your instruction. They didn't follow your direction because you cared for them. You loved them. You gave them instruction because you love them. And when they don't obey you, they're saying, I don't trust you. And it hurts your heart. Likewise, our Father's heart is compassionate. He loves you so much. He wants the best for you. And when we don't trust Him, it hurts His heart. When we don't obey Him, it means that we don't really trust His word. And it hurts His heart. And because God loves us, He's going to discipline us to get our attention. Because He doesn't want to lose us. We discipline our children, amen, because we don't want to lose them. Come on, somebody. Nearly all mothers and children have a sense of their need for a man in the house. But unfortunately, bitter experiences, you know, with men are usually at the root of hatred. Either way, the only way to be healed and to be delivered from this hate is to repent. Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Now think about that. We can come, we can shout, we can praise, we can swing from the chandelier, we can pew hop. We can do all kinds of crazy stuff, all right? But if our hearts are not right towards God, how many know that is all in vain? God will not receive worship. Amen. From a heart that is bitter towards another, that is unforgiving towards others. That's why he says, if you're going to bring your gift to the altar, amen, make sure you first reconcile with your brother. Deal with that issue. Amen. Get it straight. And then when you come with a pure heart. Amen. With a pure motivation, and the Father will receive your praise. He will receive your worship. Amen. And He will reward you. You know, it's important that when we pray for people and pray for the sick, that we really rely upon the Holy Spirit to give us discernment as to how to pray. Because sometimes we're praying for people to be healed, but what they need to do first is to forgive somebody. Amen? Forgiveness often precedes healing. It's not all sickness is a result of unforgiveness, but it can be. In some cases, the reason why people are sick is because they have refused to forgive others, and therefore they've opened a door for the enemy to come and to make them literally physically sick. And so we need to first work through forgiveness. Amen. And what is forgiveness? Once again, it's to release the debt, to forgive the debt, to let people go free, to no longer hold that against them. Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad that people have forgiven you? Aren't you glad that God has forgiven you? If He's forgiven me for the things I've done, I should be willing to do the same for others. Amen. But He says, if you do not forgive, verse 26, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Well, like Joseph, fathers and husbands have a great responsibility before God and their families. You know? Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, these are just a few instructions that God has given to us fathers. Amen? And the word provoke means to enrage them. That means that don't be unreasonable with your children. Don't put unreasonable demands on and undue harshness on your kids. Or don't, in a sense, be a nag over your children. How many been to games where the father was just a tyrant over his son or daughter that was out on the field, right? Shouting at them, and in some cases they'd beat the crap out of them if they didn't perform well enough on the field. There's an attitude problem, right? People sometimes are just like that. You know, we don't understand the grace. We don't understand the mercy of God. But if we are too harsh with our kids, if we are too demanding, if we're unreasonable with them. There was someone that was a close friend, let me just say this, to me. And it was a woman. She had a son. And they had divorced. She was a single mom. But she constantly yelled at this kid. Constantly yelling at him. He couldn't do anything right. Just harsh, unreasonable requests. And she continued to do this. Well, guess what? He eventually just completely rebelled. You know, he's in and out of jail. His life is a mess. You know, there's a time when we need, amen, to maybe raise our voice to our kids, all right? But whatever we do, whenever we discipline our children, we must always be very careful to do it in the love of God, amen? And not in an uncontrolled rage because we're mad at them. Aren't you glad that God is merciful even when He disciplines us? So it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Training means discipline or correction in love. So that means I have to discipline my son. I have to discipline my daughter. Amen. Otherwise, they're not going to learn healthy boundaries in life and they will become vulnerable. All right, to abuse. Not only that, they'll be vulnerable to the temptations of others, to peer pressure. You know, there should be a healthy reverence for your earthly father, just like there must be a healthy reverence for your heavenly father. Amen. Now, if I don't learn how to discipline myself, then my life will be dysfunctional. That's just how it works. If you don't teach your children boundaries and how to control themselves through discipline, then they'll grow up undisciplined and they'll become like so many that are just running amok in the streets, completely lawless, with no respect of any authority in their lives, because a lot of that is due to a lack of fathers. Somebody say amen. And not for the children not being raised up in any kind of structure. Structure is good. It protects a child. Amen. He learns to set boundaries for himself. He knows if I do this, I'm going to get in trouble. Therefore, I learn how to discipline myself. And when I become an adult, I become a productive adult because I can discipline myself at work. Amen. I can get up in the morning and be there on time. I can behave myself when the boss isn't looking Because I've learned the principles of being self-disciplined, amen? And being a person of integrity, knowing that someone is looking. Even though the boss isn't there, I know God is watching, amen? So I want to be the best employee because I'm working as unto the Lord and not unto man. Anyways, we're talking about fathers, aren't we? Admonition. Training admonition means warning, rebuke, or reproof. Child training should always be in accordance with the will of God as revealed in the Word. Now, husbands, we know this. It doesn't say, wives, love your husbands. It says, husbands, what? Love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So my responsibility is just to love my wife. Not to wait for her to do something good for me before I love her. But to take the initiative and love, amen, provide and protect my wife and my children, amen. I've been given that responsibility as a father. We're to lead in the home. Joshua made the decision, as for me and my house, amen. He said it. You can do whatever you want, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. In other words, he says it's not an option. We are going to serve the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. How many know that training is more than teaching? Training is getting people to practice what you teach. Fathers, we know this is our responsibility. Again, 1 Timothy 5:8, to what? Provide. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's what the Holy Spirit says about a lazy father who will not take care of his family. I'm not talking about someone who's disabled. I'm talking about someone who is well able-bodied, able-minded, amen, that's shirking his responsibility to take care of his family. Why? Because whatever we do in word and deed, we're supposed to do all for the glory of God. We represent the Lord, amen, in this world. So we want to be people of integrity. We want to be the most trustworthy people on the job. Amen. We want to be the hardworking one out there. The one that the boss knows he can always rely on because Joe there. Is there Joe here today? Because Joe is a Joe. All right. Joe is a faithful hard worker. That was a word of knowledge. I just kind of. You know, many husbands. They don't take. And they don't want responsibilities of being a husband. And so as a result, they have many problems. But if he takes his rightful place, there will be a happy home. Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. I think a healthy relationship is one where you say, what do you want to do today? I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, I want to do this. Well, I don't want to do that. Are you hearing me? To where you're both considerate of one another and saying, well, what would you like to do? Oh, it doesn't matter what I want to do. What do you want to do? Are you getting that? It means that we're selfless and we're putting our spouse before ourselves in the relationship. It's like Christians, they're true born-again Christians that go to a restaurant, right? And they fight over who gets to pay. Didn't say fight, but no, I got this. No, I got this. You see, what we're doing is we're putting others before ourselves. All right. We want to demonstrate, all right, our love for others. And you know what? Let me just finish with this today. God is trying to teach and help each one of us overcome ourselves. God is trying to get us to die to ourselves. And that is a process. God's been working in me a long time, amen? But it is a process of dying to myself to where it's not like, what do I want, but what do you want? Lord, what do you want? What can I do for you? It goes from God, give me, God, give me, God, give me, to God, what do you want? How can I love you? How can I serve you? How can I bless you? How can I love you back? Rather than God, give me, God, give me, God, give me. When we die to ourselves, we're like Jesus. Amen. Father, not my will, but yours. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We get to come into our Father's house. Amen. And we come with confident assurance that our Father has made provision for his children to be able to come before him with a pure heart and full assurance of faith because of the sacrifice of the Son Jesus on our behalf. Amen. So God has made that possible for us. What a privilege it is for you and I to be able to come to God. Amen. Anywhere. Hallelujah. You don't have to get into a geographic location because you are the temple of God. Amen. And you are with him. He's with you. And so come with confidence. Give God thanks for what he's done, already done for you. It's not something that we achieve. It's something that we receive by faith in the promise of God, that God has given unto us eternal life, that God has given us all that we have need of that pertains to life and godliness, made it freely available to us. And if we would just come, we can find mercy and find the grace to help us. And God said, the heavens are open. You don't have to go to some location on the planet, amen, to get under a open heaven. Why? Because we are God's open heaven. The portal is in our hearts. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So come with confidence. First thing we do, say, Father, if I've sinned, please forgive me. Would you just say that right now, Lord? If I have sinned, please forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. And thank him for it. Thank you, Lord, that my sins are forgiven based upon your promise. Hallelujah. You see, good feelings follow faith in the promise of God. Because the Lord is pleased when you believe him, when you believe the report he's given us concerning his Son. Hallelujah. Are you free today? Have you received your freedom in Christ today? Are you set free today? God doesn't want his children bound by anything. He wants you completely free. Hallelujah. Free from sin, free from shame, free from fear, free from guilt, free from condemnation. He wants you totally free. Jesus said, whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Do you receive what Jesus has done on your behalf today? Say, Lord, thank you for the cross. I receive the benefits of all that you've done on my behalf. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.